you know, I'll still, hearing that intro music, go back to the concert the other weekend. That was so much fun. You know, and the thing about it is, they didn't play that song until, that was the last song that the Doobie Brothers played. And I guess, I don't know, what are the most of them, 60, 65 years old now? At least. Their voices had started to tail off, because, boy, I tell you, when they first took the stage and sang a few of their songs, it was really good. So it wasn't quite as good as the studio version, but it was really good. Makes me glad I chose that song, because it is just a great song. Listen to the music. And, you know, when you're outside, there's music all around you, whether the radio's on or not, the birds, the, you know, when I go trout fishing, the river, the sound of the water on the rocks, the ocean, pretty much anywhere you are or can be outside, there is sound, except out west where your ears begin to ring after a couple of days because there's no sound, no cars, no nothing when you're up in the Rocky Mountains. But anyway, good afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz, and you can listen to this program on your FM dial at 94.5. Log on to the conservativetalk94.5.com website. Click the Listen Live button on the right side of the page, or you can download the free Conservative Talk app for your phone or tablet. You know, it's funny, my wife was coming home from Pennsylvania last weekend, and she listened to the show from Hickory, North Carolina. And always interesting to drive around and find the outer edges of where this station and this show can be heard on the radio. So whether you think you can hear it or not, you probably can, one way or the other. I took this is just a little bit off the woods and water, the outdoor path, but it's something that's pertinent, especially with summertime coming on. Driving. My daughter's 18, and we just this past Sunday morning went to the Guard Your Life driving experience out at the BMW test track there on Highway 101. A normal session out there is almost $800. But because of a certain young lady who was killed almost 3 years ago now today, Victoria Humphreys, many of you may have heard, she was driving up Highway 14, trying to make it home before curfew. Her lost control of her car. Speed was a factor. She did not have her seatbelt on, and she was killed right there at Lakeview Steakhouse on Highway 14, July of 2012. And out of that grew this Guard Your Life Challenge driving experience. And it was really good. I mean, BMW really, really, I mean, they supplied X5s for the kids to drive, and there were probably, let's see, five cars each rotation, two kids, 10, 20, maybe 40 kids there, 30, 35, 40, somewhere like that. BMW had X5s for them to drive, had the little coupes for them to drive, and you had the X5s, they did the cones, the distracted driver, the instructor would be in the car with them saying, tune in this radio station, like 101.2. Well, there's no .2 in radio. It's all odd numbers. So, you know, and they were throwing water bottles at them, towels, banging on the doors, trying to simulate anything to be a distracted driver, showing them how quickly you take your mind off your driving and you start running over cones and out of the lanes and all. The second rotation they were on was an ABS braking course. They got those little coupes up to 65 miles an hour. And the instructor told them, try to break the brake pedal, engage the ABS, learn how the feel of an ABS brake system works, and then steer. Because while your ABS kicks in, you can still steer the car. And for my daughter, who is a very, very cautious driver, watching her romp on the gas pedal on a BMW and get it to 60 miles an hour on a test track was fun just in and of itself. It just got her out of her element. And that's one of their purposes, is to get these kids into a situation where they've never experienced before, maybe never experienced on the road before, but they do it in this kind of environment with BMW driving instructors there and how to handle these situations and all. It exposes them. So if it does happen, they can get back to what they learned there. The third one was the slick course, the round concrete circular course. They have the sprinklers on, get it nice and wet, and they teach them understeer and oversteer, the slides that can occur, how to recover from them. It was fun to watch them. Some of them really got into it, turn that car all the way around. There were some of them that got out of the wet spots, and then the blue smoke and the screeches came out of it, and all the parents were like, yeah, yeah, that's fun. Oh, cool. Get at it. My daughter, Jordan, spun it. Well, she didn't spin it all the way. She spun it 90 degrees where it was across the track, and then she off into the mud. They had to tow her out, which was pretty cool, too. So, and they towed her out with an X5. Go figure. It was really neat. But anyway, it's free. Guard Your Life Challenge. Go to their website. They only offer a few of these a year. It like I said, it grew out of the death of a young lady and her parents who were there. They're there at everyone, and I cannot imagine reliving that experience. Every one of these classes that they tell the story again and talk about their daughter. I mean, they were actively going through the parent crowd talking about their daughter and the wreck and what they're hoping to do. For them to do that is just an incredible experience. I cannot imagine what that would be like. So anyway, if you've got a driver that's out there this summer, maybe a new driver, you know, shoot, an experienced driver, and me as an adult, I would have loved to have gone out and done some of that stuff on the track. It's something that they could experience in that controlled environment with those professional drivers that, you know, you just never know when they're going to use that. And they say all the time, they get letters from a student that went through saying, you know, I was in this situation and it kicked back to when I was there and I remembered how to handle it. One of them was a hydroplane on a bridge on I-85 over Lake Hartwell. And he reckoned back to how to autocorrect from a slide on the slick course there at the BMW plant. And hey, it was him and his two sisters in the car. You just never know. So check into that. Guard Your Life Challenge. They exist solely on contributions, and it's a great course, great cause, and a great, like I said, a great benefit to teenage drivers. And that wasn't what I really had planned for the introduction, but it was important, and I felt like, you know, get the word out there. And we still got a calendar of events to go through, and not much time left in this break, so let's get started. We've got the Harry Hampton Wildlife Fund. And we've had Jim Goller on to talk about that before the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic. They are in existence to help DNR with funding for projects or expenses that are outside what the legislature allocates to them. Last week, I talked about the $1.1 billion that was distributed from Pittman Robertson, and South Carolina got almost $16 million of that. And this is another one of those things. Anyway, they are having a Fort Mill Wildlife Banquet Thursday, May the 14th. It's an association of dedicated sportsmen and conservationists host a wildlife banquet in support of the Harry Hampton Wildlife Fund, first held in 2003. This year's banquet will consist of a meal, silent auction raffle, door prizes, and a live auction. It's held from 6 to 11, the beautiful Dairy Barn within the Ann Springs Close Greenway Complex. That's located at 250 Dairy Barn Lane, just off Old Nations Ford Road near Fort Mill. If you go to the website, you can get driving directions. If you need contact or questions, the number is 803-329-9999. That's the Harry Hampton Wildlife. That's one of the, they only have three fundraising banquets a year. That's, one of them's in Spartanburg, actually Thursday night. Than this one, and they're going to have one down in the low country. So if you listen to last week's show, you listen to Robbie Allen talk about the second annual Fish the Tiger and More. Well, that is this coming Saturday, the 16th, 11 to 3. It's out there on Walnut Grove Road in Roebuck, South Carolina. Come fish or learn to fish or just enjoy nature. All welcome, all ages welcome, no license needed. The event demonstrations will include fly fishing, fly tying, regular hook, line, bobber, and worm fishing demonstrations, vendors with fishing and outdoor equipment, flint napping, fire making. The Foothills Archaeological Society of South Carolina will be there. Prizes, they're going to have food available for purchase. Drawings. Additional exhibits will be held at the Nature Center, including the snake exhibit, macro invertebrate ID, fishing activities for all kids. So if you're looking for a family day, try out the second annual Fish the Tiger and More. Brought to you by the Tiger River Foundation. That website is www.tigerriver.org. And there's the music, so hang on. We got a few more on the calendar, and we'll get to those after the break. welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. That'll wake you up for certain. Love that song. Going back to the calendar of events, a few more things to get over, get through. Armed Forces Celebration at Haygood Mill. This is from the Visit Pickens County, South Carolina website. May the 16th, Armed Forces Celebration at Haygood Mill. It says, come join friends of the Haygood Mill as Music in the Mountains 2015 continues with Haygood Mill hosting a special Armed Forces Day. And I believe Memorial Day this year is on the 24th. So you're not too far out from Memorial Day. It's a special Armed Forces Day concert on Saturday, May the 16th. This free event, they do have donations accepted here in parentheses, will feature Pretty Little Goat String Band. If you've never heard that one, they're from Brevard, North Carolina. Let's see. And it goes through and tells who all's in the band and what they play and all. The Gristmill and other demonstrations will be running from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Present on site for Armed Forces Day will be the Military History Club of the Carolinas with military vehicles, historians, and reenactors. Captain Jim Bay, Calhoun Light Artillery, and the 2nd South Carolina Regimental Rifles volunteers will be on site with an encampment of War Between the States era soldiers. If you're South Carolina, that's the War of Northern Aggression. Along with firing demonstrations of cannon and rifle, come out and enjoy this educational tribute to America's armed forces. And they're going to have lots of other things there, activities for the kids. So if you're looking here, let's see. Blacksmithing, bowl digging, flint knapping, chair caning, moonshining, broom making, basket making, pottery, quilting, knitting, spinning, weaving, wood carving, metalsmithing, beekeeping, leather working, and more. So anyway, if you're interested in this, which you should be, it would be a great outing for your family in the spring in South Carolina. That's next Saturday the 16th, Haygood Mill in Pickens County. You can go to visitpickenscounty.com for more information. From the South Carolina State Parks website, and I think we have three in a row here, because, hey, the South Carolina State Parks have a lot going on right now. My hometown of Chester, South Carolina, is host to the Big Green Fishing Tournament. It says, bring your line and pole to the fishing hole at Chester State Park for our Big Green Fishing Tournament. Youth age 15 and under are invited to compete in a fishing experience unlike any other, with prizes awarded for the biggest, smallest, and most unique fish. I'm trying to think of the state park what the most unique fish would be. I never fished there much, though. Registration is free for all participants. It's held May the 16th, 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. That's at Chester State Park. That's out on Highway 72, kind of going out towards Whitmire. Phone number if you need to call, 803-385-2680. Again, that's the South Carolina State Parks website. You can get there and just say Big Green Fishing Tournament. It'll take you right to it. The Palmetto Campout, another very cool thing from the South Carolina State Parks. Have you always wanted to try tent camping but didn't know where to begin? The Palmetto Campout at Huntington Beach State Park is the chance for you and your family to have an adventure in the great outdoors, learning new skills and participating in great activities. Like throwing a cast net, pull a seine net, how to rig a crabbing line, and paddle a kayak. Stay overnight with a park ranger and learn cooking and camping secrets to make every trip more enjoyable. We even have a limited supply of tents for your family to use for the night. This event is May the 16th and 17th. It's at Huntington Beach State Park. That's down at Merle's Inlet, which is a great park. Been there. Very, very nice facility. Got alligators on one side and salt marsh on the other side is on the road you go into. So it's really cool. Registration deadline is May 9th for the spring campout, which doesn't give you a whole lot of time. I apologize for that. But you can register online. The fee is $50 for family for up to six, $20 for each individual over that. Just a good time. If you ever wanted to know how to camp but been afraid to get and don't know where to start, this is for you. Another place that I've been that is really neat, that is Lansford Canal State Park, May the 17th from 12 to 5. You have the Lily Fest 2015. The last year when we went through, the lilies weren't quite at peak. I believe they'll peak towards the end of May, 1st of June. But this is a celebration of the peak bloom of the rare Rocky Shoals spider lily. Lansford Canal State Park and the Catawba Valley Land Trust invite you to an afternoon full of music and activities as you experience the breathtaking beauty of the Rocky Shoals spider lily. It's a short three-quarter mile walk one way, so a mile and a half down our historic canal trail. It's a good trail. It's flat, shaded most parts, and takes you to the overlook where you're in the midst of all the spider lilies. And this is the largest population of spider lilies in the world. And they only grow in these rocky fall rivers. There's some down in Georgia, But most of the rest of them are on private land. So if you want to see a spider lily, this is one of the only places you can do it. Again, that's Lanford Canal State Park, Catawba, South Carolina. Phone number if you need to call them, 803-789-5800. Last one for this week is Get Your Mountain Bike On. Celebrate Mountain Bike at Glendale Outdoor Leadership School on May 19th from 5:30 to 7:30. It's a family-friendly mountain bike ride hosted by the Glendale Outdoor Leadership School. That's over in Glendale, South Carolina. To sign up, call 864-529-0259 or email info at setgoals, that's SETGOLS.org. And there, I tell you, there's a really cool thing coming up I'm going to talk about more, and that's National Trails Day, which is coming up. I believe that's June the 6th. Which is really neat. So stay tuned. We're going to have some more information on that one. Being that it's springtime and, you know, the weather is just great. People want to get out there, start going around and all. Hiking comes into mind. And yes, we cover a lot of hiking here. But we don't cover it before we talk about a little safety. So I want to take the next few minutes to go over about 10 safety rules for hiking, and they're pretty basic. And these are the rules you take for going hiking Table Rock or walking part of the Palmetto Trail, wherever you would be hiking. These are just good rules for the road for hiking. It starts off, which one you don't think about much, but when you've been in a situation like I have, it comes into play. Don't hike alone. Now, most of the time, most people go, well, why not? Well, you know, if something happens to you, you don't always have cell coverage in the mountains. Most of the time, you'll have it in the lower part of the state, Midlands up through the upcountry. But if something happened to you, it's just nice to have somebody around. So, you know, grab a buddy, grab your family, go hiking, take care of each other, keep each other from getting in trouble, which is one of those things why you don't want to travel alone, because somebody else with a little more maturity or a little saner mind might keep you from having one of those hold this, watch me type scenarios, which you hear a lot of these days. So don't travel on. There are exceptions, of course, and there are a lot of people out there, good hikers, just like to go for a walk. That's fine. But I'm saying, first rule, if you look in a lot of hiking handbooks, don't travel alone. And the story I've got is from Colorado. You know, my brother and I were out there hunting. We split off to hunt our own separate areas. We came back together in a place on the trail where the snow had melted, and we just started talking about our afternoon hunt, and it was getting dark, and we just kept moving, and it took us about 10 minutes to realize we were in knee-deep snow in a place we'd never been in before. But because there were two of us, we kept calm together, talked through it, you know, came out, look, if we keep heading uphill, we're bound to hit the trail that runs the rim. Sure enough, after about 20 minutes, we found the trail, got back to camp. Just one of those little things where having somebody else there kept you from just, what is it, and just bouncing off each tree around you as you search for a place to go. A second body can also help with first aid and go for help if it's needed, which we've talked about before. A second can also keep hypothermia away with extra body heat. Now, it's not the most appetizing thing to think about, and you probably won't have it this time of the year, although you can get hypothermia setting in from long exposure to moderately cold temperatures. Just another advantage of having a second along. Number two, know where you're going and let somebody else know where to. Common sense. Maps and trails. No reason to go anywhere without a map. A paper map, that is. Don't always rely on your cell phone, Google Maps. Although I have done that before. When I've known where I'm going, I've been there before. If you're going to strike off on a different one, carry a map. It's always good to have that map around anyway in case you see another trail you want to take off to. You don't have to guess where it's going. You'll know. And most of these forests, and there's a new initiative out there, South Carolina Trails, that I have need to do some research on. They're encompassing not only the state parks, but other trails to walk. So that's going to be a subject we're going to cover down the road. A compass works even if that GPS can't get signal. So take your compass, take your map. Just something to have along with you when you go out there. Take some basic gear. And we've had Jay Ellison from the Glendale Outdoor Leadership School, who teaches their wilderness survival courses, on the show to talk about basic gear. And what he calls his little rucksack that he takes with him everywhere. You know, pack a first aid kit, some fire starter. I always like the Quick Clot. It's a silver, almost looks like a freeze-dried little meal packet. It's called Quick Clot. It's a chemical agent to stop cuts. You know, camping, knives kind of go hand in hand. It's always nice to know that if you cut yourself, you've got something there chemically that will help clot your blood faster than just applying pressure. And always when you take a first aid kit, you know, it gets 2 or 3 years old, things start getting out of date. It's always good to inspect contents of your kit for out of date or whatever items before you take to the trail. Don't wait till you get up there and figure out that it's out of date. Your fire starter doesn't work because it got wet last year and you need it. That's not the time to take a roll call of the contents of your carry bag. Take some basic provisions. Water. You know, most of the clean water is really loaded with bacteria. The nice mountain water, it's all got bacteria. One of the, you know, beaver fever. You've heard of other stories of people drinking supposedly clean water and getting something that doesn't, not really appealing. So take some water with you because you'll burn that water. No matter what the temperature is, you're going to burn that water as you walk. You need to replace that. Rehydrate. You know, the old granola bar. I mean, there's plenty of energy bars out there now that are much better, but an old granola bar, especially a chocolate chip one, is still pretty good. So just something, that water, and then something to give you some energy. Not necessarily to eat during a hike, but if you had to stay out overnight, you would want something to eat and something to drink. Use common sense. Here's one that comes back to don't travel alone. Don't let your enthusiasm make you tempt fate. Mother Nature is quite indifferent to hurting you when you do dumb things. You know, we've all heard the watch this scenario. Well, that is something that is very, very dangerous, that watch this attitude. And one of those things on common sense is don't get off those trails. You know, especially this time of the year when the leaves are back on the trees. In the wintertime, when you can see 300, 400 yards through the woods, well, it might be okay to strike off on a different trail because you can always see your way back. But we had some people last year that got off the beaten trail this time of the year, couldn't see the trail, and spent a couple of nights out in the wilderness. So just, you know, use your common sense. Don't go striking off, especially if you're by yourself, into an area that doesn't look like it's got an established trail system. Be aware. Goes back to watching where you're walking. Snakes are out. Yellow jackets love to burrow up in old dead logs beside trails. You know, when you're crossing a creek, watch where you're putting your feet. Those rocks are slick. There's a reason why trout fishermen wear those rubber suction cup shoes or the felt-soled shoes. It's because those rocks in those rivers are slick. Watch for trees. Crossing trees, watch where you're going to put your foot down on the other side of the tree. Just be aware of where you are. Know how to avoid hazards. This one says step over logs and rocks rather than on them. Don't know that you can avoid that sometimes when you're crossing a creek. But if you're on the trail and there's a log or a rock, especially a big rock that's kind of rounded over, and we saw this a lot up at DuPont last fall when it was cold and icy. Some of those rocks got a little rim of ice on them. Had some kids slide off on them, so... You know, just some common sense things. We've got a few more here. There's the music. Hang on through the break. We'll be back and finish this up on the other side. And yes, they played that the other night, too. I got that one on recording. I'll put that one on the Facebook page. That was a really good one, too. But welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina, where we are huge Doobie Brother fans here. Not for their name, but for their music. Getting back to a few little safety tips for hiking. Know how to avoid becoming fatigued. You know, you need to be in shape, first of all. I wouldn't suggest, especially me right now, get up and going on a 15-mile hike. You know, 1 or 2 miles to go trout fishing or something, I could do that, giving me all day to get back out. But, you know, don't get out there when you're not ready. Try some walking around the neighborhood to get you ready to go on hiking. Stay hydrated. We talked about having water up there in another point. Stay hydrated. Take enough water where you can, you know, keep your mouth from getting dry. If push comes to shove, you can put a rock in your mouth, a pebble, not just any rock. I think it's a pebble. I think there's some moisture inside a rock, or at least that's what I read when I was a kid. Never tried it, but it sounded pretty cool. Eat when you get hungry. We always take way too many snacks when we go hiking, but you never know when you're going to need them. You never know when you're going to sit down and say, ah, I want some sunflower seeds. And nuts are a great source of energy, peanuts especially. Take rest breaks. Maybe not too long. You could stiffen up, even have a harder time coming out. Stay warm. Getting cold reduces your awareness. Choose the proper trail. You know, most trails are graded, or they will say easy, moderate, whatever. I think there are three. Easy, moderate, and difficult. Going back to another point, never get off a trail. Could contribute to getting lost or hurt. And if you're by yourself, you know, lost and getting hurt means, you know, chances of somebody finding you are a lot tougher. Wear the proper clothes. And a lot of times you'll see people, shorts, t-shirts, and that's cool. It's comfortable, but might not be the most practical thing. Long pants, keep from getting scratched up if you get into whatever, or stung. You know, tuck those pants legs inside your boots, inside your socks. Ticks, chiggers, you know, you coat your pants legs with Fear-Ohms, and it'll keep those things out a little better than just having socks and shorts on. Wear the proper footwear. Don't go hiking flip-flops and sandals. Just not practical. And be sure your boots are broken in. You know, I have heard of people going with brand new boots and they come home with just blisters all over. So break them in, wear them around the house in the yard before you hike, strike out on the trail. And finally, avoid wildlife. You know, deer and bear cubs are cute, but trust me, mom is somewhere close by and will defend their young. You know, coming between a year, always hear the worst case scenario of somebody being killed in Montana or up in Alaska is they, not of their own, I guess, recklessness, but coming between a bear and a cubs. That's one of those that you hear that a lot of times will result in somebody getting killed. Like I said, just be aware of your surroundings. And there's just some general rules for hiking. It's that time of the year. Actually, I like to hike in the wintertime too, but haven't been able to do much of that lately. Going to go hike in, let's see, May. Got the annual Chattooga trip planned. That'll just be hiking in to fish, but it's still hiking and it's still camping. And then we just booked, a buddy of mine are going to Canada for 8 days. Fishing, camping, hiking. It'll be fun. So with a little bit of safety out of the way, ran across this article, and there's a website out there. It's a great website. It's Only Your State, onlyinyourstate.com. And it's, of course, I've linked into South Carolina, and they send me emails all the time. And this one, these 14 epic hiking spots in South Carolina are out of this world. And this is from March 27th article. It says, South Carolina is, by its perfect location, a hiker's delight. From the mountains of the upstate to the lowlands of the coast and coastal islands, South Carolina is rife with hiking trails for every experience level. Now that spring is here and all of nature's in bloom, I recommend you get out that backpack and lace up those boots, preferably ones you've broken in before, because I have 14 hiking destinations that are sure to please. And these don't take very long, but there are some good ones. They rate their number one as 40 Acre Rock Heritage Preserve in Kershaw, South Carolina. 40 Acre Rock Preserve actually spans 2,267 acres. However, the rock itself is only 14. There are many trails for hikers to enjoy, and the biodiversity of the preserve is astounding. Never been there. Congaree National Park in Hopkins, South Carolina. Congaree National Park is home to the oldest bottomland hardwood forest in the U.S. There are over 25 miles of hiking trails, and 2.4 miles of that are boardwalk. There are even ranger-guided tours on Saturdays year-round. Number 3, Audubon's Francis Beadler Forest in Harleysville, South Carolina. Teeming with wildlife, this forested wetland is not only good for hikers seeking a change from the mountain scenery, but also a paradise for wildlife and bird enthusiasts. There are miles and miles for the experienced hiker, but there's also a 1 3/4 mile boardwalk that is wheelchair accessible. In fact, all facilities here are wheelchair accessibles, and they also have them to borrow if necessary. The Foothills Trail in Oconee County, South Carolina. There's a 75-mile part of the trail that travels across the Blue Ridge Escarpment. Be prepared for all the wildlife that you may run into, such as black bear, white-tailed deer, and bald eagles. This place is also home to some rare wildflowers, so don't forget to take your camera. Jones Gap State Park, which also has some very good trout fishing, is their number 5 on the list. Who knows how many miles of trails are here, but there are many and they cover 11,000 acres. Made for the adventurer. There is also an interactive ecology center. However, be aware that there are only a limited amount of parking spaces, and you could run into delays getting to the park as well as admission fees. Usually applies on the weekend. Number 6, Paris Mountain Sulphur Springs Trail, right here in Greenville. Get your burn on with this one. The trail will take you up and down rocky slopes, through forest, and back again for a 3.5-mile loop. Don't forget to bring some insect repellent with you, which is something also you ought to have in any hiking bag. You hate to say this, a snake bite kit, however you would like to do that, and some Benadryl for the bees, wasps that you encounter along the way. A good dosing with All for Something or whatever you choose, with Skin So Soft, whatever you choose as a mosquito repellent is also a good idea if you're going early and late in the day. Number 7 on their list is Peachtree Rock Nature Preserve in Swansea, South Carolina. The trail consists of approximately 7.5 miles on a scale of 1 to 10. It is ranked at a 2 to 3 with some steep climbing here and there. In years, there have been some graffiti and littering. Please don't do that. Please leave only your footprints. And don't forget some insect spray in the warm months. Number 8 on their list, Ravencliff Falls Trail in Greenville County. Ready for a workout? If so, this trail was made for you. It's 8.8 miles and rates a 7 out of 10 on the difficulty scale. But oh, the sights you'll see, complete with a waterfall and a walkover suspension bridge. Not for the faint of heart. Number 9, and there was some news on this one. We had Duke Power giving some money to help the progress of it. And you can also buy bricks, 4x8s, 8x8s, and there's a third size brick through the Harry Hampton Wildlife Fund. And that's all to benefit Sassafras Mountain. So number 9 on their list is Sassafras Mountain Trail. It's 9.9 miles of amazing vistas, including the French Broad River Valley. This is a hike for the experienced hiker. Note you will need two cars for this one, one at each end of the trail, as this is a one-way hike. And there are, you know, the end game for Sassafras Mountain is to have a observation tower there. So that is in the works also. Number 10, Sesquicentennial State Park in Columbia. Now, the state park at Sesquicentennial always has a lot of things going on. So if you're going to go down there, check the state park because they have s'mores nights and movie nights and all that. And you could combine, hey, make a day of it. You got Riverbank Zoo, Sesquicentennial State Park. There's lots of good trout fishing, the tail race behind the Lake Murray Dam. Have to know where to go, but I understand it's very good trout fishing. 1,400 acres of breathtaking nature in the heart of Columbia, South Carolina. This park offers so much, including the much-needed getaway from the hustle and bustle of city life. Family-friendly, pet-friendly, with a load of amenities. Note that there is an admission fee. Number 11 on their list, Table Rock State Park in Pickens County. If you have not hiked Table Rock, you need to do it. It's a great thing. Someday this hike is strenuous and some say that it's moderate. My guess it depends on your physical ability. I would wear some really good shoes either way and take a bottle or two of water. Hike is 6.8 miles and a section cuts through a field of boulders. The view at the top is one amazing jaw-dropping sight and well worth every step. And if you listen, they do have what they call moonlit hikes up there where you hike up under the moon and you watch the sunrise from the top. Number 12, Poinsett State Park in Wedgeville, South Carolina, also known as the Mountains of the Midlands. There are plenty of nature trails and amazing sights to see from beginning to end. Definitely family-friendly hikes and pet-friendly, and if you're lucky, it's right down there near Shaw Air Force Base in the Poinsett Electronic Combat Range. You could see some of our nation's finest flying some of the best jets there are out there. Bull Island, number 13 in Allendale, South Carolina. This is something different. You'll have to do it. A little planning, take a ferry to get to the island, but you won't ever regret it. I've seen lots of bald eagles there. Left mostly to its own devices, the islands offer stunning views. Hikers come across the 1.5-mile Boney Yard Beach where red cedars and live oaks had become skeletons of their former selves. And number 14, Cedar Falls Park and Fountain Inn, a nice-sized park with plenty of land to cover. Cedar Falls is just in the beginning of its hiking age. They have one trail which is paved and rated super easy. Open now that passes by Cedar Falls. Many trails will be marked in the future, as well as others amenities added to the park. So get your hiking shoes on, get your family together, get some water, some snacks. Try to combine it with another outdoor activity and get out there and hike. It's going to be a great summer. Here's the music. I'll see you back on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. The last segment for this Saturday. Still always amazes me how quick time gets away from you. And I don't know where to start. I've got a lot of things I wanted to get through. Okay, we'll do this. We'll kind of combine them. If you've listened to the show before, you know, especially there at Christmas time, I had a segment on books. Because, as my dad likes to tell me all the time, or when I was growing up, what you read, no one can ever take away from you. They can take the book away, but you can always remember what you read in that book. Part of getting a kid involved in the outdoors is, I don't know, you gotta find that spark, something that draws them, their imaginations to the outdoors. I guess you would say that would be a good word for it. And if you grew up hunting, fishing like I did, then in your background is an old man. And the book I'm referring to is The Old Man and the Boy by Robert Rourke. And Sporting Classics puts out a daily email. It's not really a daily email. Or at least it might be daily. I just miss looking at them. But they've got a great article about Robert Rourke. It's A Man of Startling Contrast. It's by Jim Cassata, who lives in Rock Hill, South Carolina, who is an icon in the outdoor writing industry. I know Jim. He's a great guy. Writes some really good stuff. And I'm not going to go through a lot of this. You may want to go to the Sporting Classics Daily and look for this article. It's a great one. But it starts out each year about this time when what my grandpa Joe variously called cabin fever and the miseries threatened to reach epidemic proportions, I turned to my time-tested antidote for my doldrums. This involves revisiting Robert Rourke's The Old Man and the Boy, and the second complimentary book to that, The Old Man Boy Grows Older. In my considered opinion, these books represent the finest material ever written on the outdoors. And I would heartily agree with him. Rourke was if you read his background, four distinct phases. Boyhood, college, early career working with newspapers, his military service in World War II. His breakthrough as a newspaper columnist of national stature, and his final 12 years beginning with his first African safari in 1953. Safaris being another one of those things that I like to read about. The last phase coincided almost exactly with the period Alan Ritchie served as his secretary. So it goes on to talk about the old man. And rather than read, although Jim's got a great article here and I encourage you to read it, I got the book. And the book is just one of those, I mean, my book is stained, it is dog-eared, because it is so much fun to read, even at my age. And for those of you, like I said, for those of you who grew up hunting and fishing, you've got an old man in your life, whether it's your dad, your grandfather, a neighbor who kind of took you under your wing and gave you stuff. He may not have been hunting, and for us, it was Mr. James Fleming. He didn't hunt or fish, but I can remember he always had time to talk and listen to what I was chasing with a shotgun or running around with a dog or a fishing rod. And he chewed tobacco. I cannot remember the brand, but when he would buy these, they'd have those cheap orange hunting jackets in it. The little, a briar get a hold of it and it just rip it from one end to the other. But he had plenty of them and he'd always willing to give me another one. So, you know, I had a granddaddy, I had a dad, although dad didn't hunt, he gave me the things I needed to get out there. And Mr. James encouraged me as much as anybody else did too. So I just want to take just a few moments here towards the end and just read to you just a little bit. If you're interested in the outdoor world, this is a great book for a kid over the summer to read this book from cover to cover. I can't help but think it would spark that imagination that every kid has and maybe awakens a yearning for the outdoors in your kid. So I won't read it all, and the chapters are so diverse. And remember, this was written by a young man, probably from his experience as a youngster, 10, 12 years old, all the way through the time he left to go to college. So it's a natural progression in his life. And the chapters are, it takes a gentleman to approach another gentleman, a duck looks different to another duck, fish keep a fellow out of trouble, Mr. Howard was a real gent, somebody else's turkey tastes better, old dogs and old men smell bad, lazy day, no women, even school can't hurt October. One of my favorites, everybody took sick but me, life among the giants, November was always the best. March is for remembering, you got to be crazy to be a duck hunter, the women drive you to the pool halls, graveyards are more fun than Sunday school, but not on opening day. Those are just some of the, and that's just the first book. That is The Old Man and the Boy. And the contemporary, and I've got them all in one here, is The Old Man Boy Grows Older, which is his life after college. One of my favorite ones, and I'll read you just a few paragraphs, of fish keep a fella out of trouble. And listen to the, we can all relate to it. The summer had come, and it comes swiftly in the south, with the trees heavy with summer smells and all the roses blooming in Miss Lottie's garden, and the magnolia all busted out in those great, heavy, waxy blossoms that turn brown if you touch them. The old man was watching us play a game of tua-cat one day, and when we wound it up, he called me to one side and said he reckoned it was about time for us to go fishing. It was just a question, he said, of what kind of fishing we wanted to do. This is summertime, the old man said. This is not a time for heavy fishing. In the summertime, you don't belong to work too hard. My idea of summertime fishing is to take a pole and length of line and sit by a freshwater creek and catch a black bass, or else get in the rowboat and go find one of those big holes full of speckled trout and use a hand line on them. The whole purpose of summer fishing, the old man said, is not to worry about catching fish, but to just get out of the house and sit and think a little. Also, the women folk are very bad-tempered in the summer. The less you hang around the premises, the less trouble you're apt to get in. Which ought to make you smile, because you know exactly what I'm talking about. One of the other chapters I like a lot is Summertime and the Living Was Easy. June is a nice time of year because school lets out and it hasn't got real hot yet. The mornings are fresh and dewy and everything is green and sweet-smelling. And generally the mosquitoes haven't started and the nights are still cool enough for covers. The nicest thing about June is that the awful memories of school are behind you and September is so far away that it doesn't even count. The summertime belongs to boys. Grown-up folks might play around at the beaches and the country clubs and take vacations, but summer truly belongs to kids. It's sunburn time and ground itch time and poison ivy time. It's barefoot time and fish hooks caught in your ear time and baseball time and whippoorwill time and bull boat swooping low in the dust time. And if you got a kid, you just got to think that those kind of description would really appeal to them. Another one of my favorites is November was always the best. And growing up here in South Carolina, before the deer were the main game, it was about this chapter and this month. A lot of people figure November to be a middling sad kind of month, with the trees showing naked against the leaden skies late in the afternoon and the grass all crisp and brown from frost, and the threat of winter turning your ears red in the morning and the evening cold making your nose run. The year has only 1 month to live, and that is sad, too, to some people. But November was the month I aimed my whole year at, for the very simple reason that the bird season opened round about Thanksgiving, and if you lived in my neck of the woods, birds didn't mean canaries or parrots or blue jays. Birds meant quail. And that's where I got my start, quail hunting. And if you grew up quail hunting, it'll it'll come back to you too. The last chapter of the book is, but not on opening day. And towards the end of the chapter, it starts out, it finishes up like this. "I ain't got to tell you what I'm going to die," the old man said. "You would know it. You've had the best of me, and you're on your own from now on. You'll go to college next year, and you'll be a man, but with all a man's problems, and there won't be no old man around to steer you. I raised you as best I could, and now you're the old man because I'm tired and I think I'll leave." Now, you got to understand, Robert Rourke's dad had died, or has left his mother, one of the two. I can't, right here at the moment, can't remember. So he was raised by his granddaddy. Robert writes, "My eyes blurred into tears, and I said all the things young people say in the presence of death. 'Leave it. Leave it,' the old man said. 'Like I always told you, if there was a way to beat it, I would have heard about it. It'll even happen to you, unlikely as it seems. But how? When? Why?' I said, for lack of anything better." The old man lit his pipe very carefully and grinned under his ragged mustache. "I promise you," he said, "on my word of honor, I won't die on the opening day of the bird season." And he kept his promise. So just one of my favorite authors. If you've got a kid, or if you like outdoor writing, and you haven't read anything by Robert Rourke, look it up. The Old Man and the Boy. The Old Man Boy Grows Older. Challenge your kid to read it over the summer. You know, when I was growing up, we had the bookmobile. We didn't go to school. The bookmobile showed up once a week. We checked out a bunch of books, read them during the week, turned them back in. And I don't mean getting them on your iPad either. Get the real thing. Hardback, paperback. Sit down and read it. You won't regret it. Few stories from a news segment. The Great Backyard Bird Count held February 13th to the 16th. It's the 18th year they've had it. They had 147,000 bird checklists from across the world. They identified 5,090 species, and that's nearly half the possible bird species in the world. Now, we've got another one coming up, actually today, May the 9th, is another birding day. So for you birders out there, might be a good thing for you to break out the binoculars, get you a piece of paper, and write down what all you see. Right now, I've got finches and cardinals, and even the doves are starting to show up. Bluebirds also. From the South Carolina Sportsman, research is asking questions about juvenile tarpon being caught in South Carolina waters. This is by Jeff Burleson. And if you listened to the show last summer in August, we had the Bonefish and Tarpon Trust's biologist Jo Ellen Wilson on the show. I met her down in Georgetown for the Georgetown Tarpon Tournament. We talked a little bit. Hopefully see those guys in May when I'm in Florida. Out of all the South Carolina fishes to target, the mighty tarpon takes the top spot as the toughest saltwater fish to wrangle to the boat. And that's the truth. We get the big ones here in South Carolina. They migrate late June, peak in August and September. A lot of them, you know, are starting to figure out how to throw flies at them or soft plastics. Could give you a couple names, but they just don't come to mind right now. Dylan Tucker Bly is one of them who fishes a lot. He's a good one. J.R. Waits is another good tarpon guide along the coast. But there, we are finding out we might have a juvenile tarpon nursery here in South Carolina, which would be really interesting. Like I said, I'll get to see the bonefish and tarpon people again in May and then again at ICAST. So stay tuned. We'll have some more information on that and what's going to happen here in South Carolina, or what they see happening in South Carolina later on this year. In closing, Disconnect Day, sponsored by Cabela's. Pick your personal disconnect day. Take the pledge, pick your day, and disconnect. You can find more at mydisconnectday.com. There's a pledge, and all it says is, I'm going to turn off all the electronics, I'm going to spend my time with family, and I'm going to get outside. So check into that and disconnect. Chuck Norris for today. The NFL draft just happened, so for all you football fans, Brett Favre can throw a football 75 yards. Chuck Norris can throw Brett Favre even further. There's the music. It's good music, too. Go take a listen to the music. Take a ride and go listen to some music this weekend. Take a kid fishing. Be prepared and careful while you're out there. As always, take those back roads. Don't forget the camera. Have a good week, and I'll talk to you again next Saturday.